Welcome back to SpaceX Daily, Space Cadets. Today, we're diving into the latest developments in the world of in-flight Wi-Fi, and boy, are things getting interesting. Joining me is Neil Rocketman, aerospace engineer, and our resident connectivity guru. Neil, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, Ava, especially when we're talking about space tech shaking things up here on Earth.
Absolutely. Now, Starlink's been making headlines for partnering with airlines to offer in-flight Wi-Fi. But recent news suggests they're not just dipping their toes in, they're doing a cannonball into the pool. What's your take on this, Neil?
It's a classic disruption scenario, Ava. Starlink's offering a vastly superior product, significantly faster speeds thanks to their constellation of LEO satellites. We're talking 200 to 350 megabits per second compared to the paltry 20 megabits per second from traditional GEO providers. Airlines are flocking to them because, frankly, passengers demand decent Wi-Fi these days.
And it's not just a couple of small airlines, right? We're talking major players like United Airlines and Air France jumping on board.
Exactly. And the fact that they're offering it for free, or at least to frequent flyers, shows they see it as a key differentiator. This isn't just a perk anymore. It's becoming an expectation.
It's like the in-flight movie situation. Remember when that was a novelty? Now it's almost strange if a flight doesn't have it.
Precisely. And just like with in-flight entertainment, this shift to better connectivity opens up new possibilities. Imagine real-time work conferencing, seamless streaming, even AR/VR experiences at 30,000 feet.
Neil, this situation in North Carolina is deeply concerning. We're hearing reports of FEMA actively hindering relief efforts, even blocking private citizens and organizations trying to help. Can you unpack this for us?
It's appalling, Ava. We've seen firsthand accounts, including from SpaceX engineers on the ground, that FEMA is seizing supplies, blocking shipments, even threatening private pilots conducting rescue missions. It's like they're more interested in controlling the narrative than actually helping people.
And the timing of this couldn't be worse. Hurricane Otis just ravaged the region, people are desperate, and the very agency tasked with disaster relief is seemingly creating more obstacles.
It's a complete dereliction of duty. And this isn't an isolated incident. Remember the East Palestine disaster? The Biden administration's response has been widely criticized for being slow, inadequate, and seemingly more concerned with optics than actual aid.
It's a disturbing pattern. And what's even more shocking is that FEMA is claiming they're running out of funds. But we know the Biden administration diverted $1.4 billion from FEMA to address the migrant crisis. It's like they're prioritizing non-citizens over American citizens in need.
It raises serious questions about their priorities and competence. And let's not forget, the Biden administration also blocked Starlink from a rural broadband contract in North Carolina just before the hurricane. Imagine if those 20,000 terminals had been in place, providing vital communication lifelines during the storm.
It's a tragic example of how bureaucratic roadblocks and misplaced priorities can have devastating real-world consequences. This situation demands accountability and a thorough investigation. Speaking of government overreach, this Heritage Foundation scheme, Project 2025, is raising eyebrows. They're filing FOIA requests to dig into what NASA employees are saying about Elon Musk and Trump. It sounds like a witch hunt.
It's a blatant attempt to intimidate civil servants and stifle dissent. The Heritage Foundation wants to know if NASA is thwarting progress for private companies like SpaceX. It's as if they see any government oversight as an obstacle to their privatization agenda.
And let's not forget the broader context here. Project 2025 is a blueprint for a Trumpian power grab. Replace the civil service with GOP loyalists, control independent agencies, enshrine Christian nationalism. It's a recipe for authoritarianism.
It's chilling. And the fact that they're targeting NASA, an agency that represents scientific exploration and human ambition, speaks volumes about their priorities. They'd rather politicize space exploration than address the very real threats facing our planet.
Well, Neil, it seems like SpaceX has some competition heating up in the satellite internet arena. AST SpaceMobile just started unfolding its massive Bluebird satellites in orbit.
Yeah, this is big news, Ava. We're talking about the largest commercial communications arrays ever deployed in low Earth orbit. 700 square feet of antenna, designed to beam internet directly to unmodified smartphones. That's a game changer if they can pull it off.
It's an ambitious goal, especially with SpaceX's Starlink already racking up subscribers. What are the key differences between AST SpaceMobile's approach and what SpaceX is doing?
The biggest difference is that AST SpaceMobile is targeting direct-to-device connectivity. No need for specialized antennas or ground stations. If you have a smartphone, you can theoretically access their network. Starlink, on the other hand, requires users to have a Starlink dish.
That's a compelling selling point for AST SpaceMobile, but they've got a long way to go. They've only launched 5 of these Bluebird satellites so far, and coverage is extremely limited.
Absolutely. They're talking about initial beta tests with AT&T and Verizon later this year, but widespread coverage will require dozens, if not hundreds, more satellites. And that's where things get interesting. They're already planning next-generation satellites 3 times larger, with 10 times the capacity.
Imagine the light pollution, though. Astronomers are already up in arms about Starlink's reflectivity. This could be a whole other level of interference with astronomical observations.
That's a valid concern. It highlights the need for responsible space utilization and international collaboration to mitigate the potential downsides of these mega constellations.
Speaking of exciting missions, let's shift gears to another high-profile launch coming up. SpaceX is set to send NASA's Europa Clipper spacecraft on its way to Jupiter's moon Europa on October 10th. Neil, what can you tell us about this mission and its ambitious goals?
This is a big one, Ava. Europa Clipper is designed to investigate whether Jupiter's moon Europa could harbor conditions suitable for life. It's going to be equipped with a suite of 9 science instruments to study Europa's icy shell, subsurface ocean, and its geology. Europa has long been a prime candidate in the search for life beyond Earth, and this mission could provide some groundbreaking answers.
It's incredible to think that we're on the verge of potentially discovering evidence of life elsewhere in our solar system. What are some of the biggest challenges facing the Europa Clipper mission?
Well, for starters, Jupiter's radiation environment is incredibly harsh. Europa Clipper will need to withstand intense radiation levels throughout its mission, which is why it's designed with radiation-hardened electronics and shielding. Another challenge is the sheer distance to Jupiter. It will take the spacecraft almost 6 years to reach its destination.
6 years? That's quite the commute. So once it arrives, how exactly will Europa Clipper study Europa?
Instead of orbiting Europa directly, which would expose it to even higher levels of radiation, Europa Clipper will orbit Jupiter in a highly elliptical path, making close flybys of Europa about every 2 weeks. This will allow it to collect detailed data without being constantly bombarded by radiation.
That's a clever workaround. What are scientists most eager to learn from the data gathered by Europa Clipper?
One of the key objectives is to determine the thickness and composition of Europa's icy shell and the depth and salinity of its subsurface ocean. These factors are crucial in understanding the moon's potential for harboring life as we know it.
It's amazing to think that beneath that icy exterior could lie a vast, potentially habitable ocean. And speaking of the launch, are there any concerns about SpaceX's Falcon Heavy rocket being up to the task?
The Falcon Heavy has proven itself to be a reliable heavy-lift launch vehicle. It's already successfully launched several high-profile missions, including the Arabsat 6A communications satellite and the STP-2 mission for the U.S. Air Force. So I think it's safe to say that Europa Clipper is in good hands.
And finally, let's talk about a potential game changer in the world of telecommunications: direct Starlink integration with cellular smartphones. Neil, this sounds like something straight out of science fiction. What are your thoughts?
It's definitely a bold move by Elon Musk and Starlink, Ava. The recent tragedy in North Carolina and Georgia really highlighted the vulnerability of traditional cellular networks. When disaster strikes and cell towers go down, the consequences can be devastating. A direct Starlink connection could provide a lifeline in those critical situations.
Absolutely. The idea of having reliable communication, even in the most remote areas or during emergencies, is incredibly appealing. But what about the technical aspects, Neil? How feasible is it to have a satellite internet connection on a regular smartphone?
Well, the technology is still in its early stages, but the FCC has authorized tests between Starlink and T-Mobile. The initial reports suggest that they're aiming for basic text messaging and potentially voice calls, not high-speed internet browsing just yet. The challenge lies in miniaturizing the necessary hardware and ensuring a strong enough signal from low Earth orbit.
I see. So it's not going to replace our current cellular networks anytime soon, but it could serve as a vital backup system, especially in disaster relief situations or for people living in areas with limited cellular coverage.
Exactly. Imagine hikers, explorers, and even everyday people living in rural areas having access to reliable communication no matter where they are. It could be a real game changer for both safety and connectivity.
It certainly sounds promising. We'll be keeping a close eye on its development. Well, that wraps up another exciting episode of SpaceX Daily. From the groundbreaking Europa Clipper mission to the potential of Starlink's cellular revolution, it's clear that space exploration and technology continue to push the boundaries of what's possible. Until next time, keep looking up.